newly ordained elder and one that we have come to know and love very dearly. Ed, would you come and bring God's word this day?
One of the hardest things for me to do while preparing a message is to decide what the title of the message should be. A couple of weeks ago, while preparing for one of my turns teaching from 1 Kings on Wednesday evening, I just gave up and copied what was in the heading of my Bible. But today, I just looked at what has been happening and what has transpired with Dayspring Fellowship over the last almost 4 months now. So the title of today's message, When There Is No Change in Change, that came to me rather easily. So if you're somewhat confused by the title, please bear with me for a while, and I'll do my best to bring it into focus. That being said, please turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, and we will begin reading at verse 13. Matthew 16, beginning in verse 13. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come today and study your word and worship you in many forms. We pray, Lord, that you would be with each and every one of us now, that the Holy Spirit would be upon us, that the Holy Spirit would open our hearts, that our minds would turn to you, and that we would praise you in all that we do today. We just give you thanks for this, Lord, and pray that your blessings continue to be upon us. For we ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Now, one thing that to start out with I want you to do, I hope you'll do, is go back home, get on the web, download Max's Sunday School lesson this morning. It was from 1 Corinthians, verse 23. And as he was going through that sermon, I kept going like, well, that's what I'm trying to say in my message today. In fact, one of the scripture that he used, I showed my wife. And then I told Max afterwards, you know, we haven't talked this week. This is the providence of God. Two of the songs today I suggested we sing because I thought they were relative to the message. One of them, Max picked, right on there, talking about on Christ the solid rock. Christ said, I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock, and this rock was not Peter, but it was, that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So the particular words out of this passage of our Lord that I want to put before you today are in verse 15. But who do you say that I am? The NIV translates his words, but what about you? Who do you say that I am? Today we might ask someone face-to-face conversation or in a group of people, but what about you? Who do you say that Jesus is? Do we at Dayspring speak correctly when we answer this question as a congregation, in our sermons, in our literature, and individually as representatives of Christ? Before we go deeper into this, let me get back to my title, and let's look at what has changed. Our beloved Pastor Jackson and his wife Barbara are no longer with us. And as Max reminded us last week in his message, not all that happens is good. But God's word assures us, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. We are coming out of a very dark period in our individual lives and in the lives of Dayspring. We are coming out of it. But now we see God's purpose for us has not changed. Where there is change, there is also no change. Beginning next week, God willing, our new pastor will be joining us, and we begin a new exciting chapter in the Dayspring Fellowship, working to glorify and please God. A change that is being made. You may have noticed we have two new elders. God, and as David Riedel reminded us this past Thursday night, that while they, the two elder candidates, were being examined by the congregation, there were some who may have said, oh, one of them's too old. Oh, the other one's too young. I'm not going to tell you who is who. I don't want to embarrass these two men. I think John Wood put it best when he said, we'll just average ages and it all works out. We have new people coming to Dayspring during this past four-month time. I've met several people who have visited here and I hope will come back. So change is inevitable. Change is happening and it is going to continue to happen. Christine Hughes and Mark Gunning have started classes for our young boys and girls that meet on the first Sunday of every month. That's a wonderful change. But in the message that they give, that's not going to change. One other change that you may not have noticed, but I'll tell you about, and that is we, the elders and those who are accompanying our service with music, we're trying to meet earlier so that we can be on time. I say that specifically to one person, and I'm not going to tell you who it is, but we are trying to be on time. So we have changes that we, by the grace of God, are working through. And during this time, looking to him in prayer, guiding us. Now, there are two subcategories that I would list under the not changed. The first are the things that would assuredly never change. And second, there are things which may change, but in most cases should not change because of the things that will never change. Now, if you're really confused, I'll try to straighten you out on that. There is change, but in some of the things that change, there is no change in what the message is and what they're doing. It wasn't that long ago that we had a series of lessons that covered the attributes of God. For me, all of these attributes are critical to God's nature. That is, if you remove any of these attributes, then the rest will tumble quickly into a worthless heap. That being said, for me, the one attribute that I look for assurance to is God's immutability. He never changes. Can you imagine what it would be like if last Sunday Max told you the way to salvation is doing this and this and this, and I came in the next week and contradicted that. Somebody came in the next week and said, well, both of those guys are wrong. Here's the real way. So there are things that do not change. Hebrews 1, 10 through 12. You, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Like a robe, you will roll them up. Like a garment, they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end. Hebrews 13:7. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods, which have not benefited those devoted to them. looking back again at this question posed by Jesus to the disciples, but who do you say that I am? As you already know, there are many who do not honor God for who he truly is. They make him something that he is not by adding to his nature, or they remove one of his attributes or more of his attributes. And by doing so, do not honor him as they should. We saw that in his earthly ministry, and we see it today. He was a good example to follow. He's not the Lord. I was amazed when I first found out that there were professing Christians who do not acknowledge that Jesus Christ is their Lord. I just could not believe that, and I questioned the man that said it, and he told me about these people, and I just shook my head in disbelief. He never claimed to be God. I mean, I can show you scripture after scripture after scripture where he claimed to be God. It was said about him that he blasphemes God, and we thus see it done today. This is a question that every living person today, as well as those in the past, at some point in their life will have to answer. Some people, and there are some of you today who can say, well, that happened to me. I answered that question, I don't know, years ago. And they answered that question, oh, well, I hear he was a good teacher, but he's a good example to follow. And then later on in life, you answered that question at your conversion. When you declared that the Lord Jesus Christ was and is your Savior. So that is who he is. It's one that we affirm, as Ben said this morning, it's one that we affirm every time we partake in the Lord's Supper in a worthy manner. We declare who the Lord Jesus Christ is, the one who gave his life and shed his blood for his sheep. This is a question we answer both individually and as a congregation when we worship him. Next, I want to take a look at what we call the five solos, or as they're known as the five onlys. Solo scriptura, by scripture alone. Isaiah 40, 7 and 8. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows on it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Day Springers, be a Berean. In Berea, when the people there heard God's word preached, what did they do? They went off and they looked at the Old Testament and they read to see if those words were true. And we should do that no matter who is standing in this pulpit. You should go back and say, is what Ed said today right? Does it follow Scripture? I'm going to go look at the Scripture and find out. And if it doesn't, I'm going to call him on it, as you should. Two of them that go together in my mind, solo fidei, by faith alone, solo gratia, by grace alone. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. We talked about works this morning earlier. Solo Christus or solo Christo, Christ alone or through Christ alone. John 14, verse 6 and 7. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. But from now on you do know him and have seen him. Acts 16:31. And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. This was to the jailer in Philippi when he had been about to kill himself because he knew what his punishment would be. But now he is a believer. We will see this jailer in heaven someday. Solo Deo Gloria, glory to God alone. Isaiah 45, 21b. There is no other God besides me, a righteous God and a Savior. There is none besides me. Exodus 20, verse 2 and 3. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. In our Wednesday night messages and going through Kings, we read of this God and that God and another God over here, and Solomon setting up idols for his wives' gods. And they're just gods all over the place. But there are no other gods. You can create something that you call a god. We see that in the Old Testament all the time, but there are no gods. The glory to God alone. Shortly, we hope shortly, soon, we're going to have a plaque on the door, on the wall of Dayspring Chapel out here. And at the bottom of that plaque, it's going to have Solo Dia Gloria. And I just pray that as long as Dayspring Fellowship and Dayspring Chapel exist, that the people that see that, we didn't have it translated, I hope they'll ask somebody and know, that they will know that Dayspring stands for the glory of God alone. As we are assured by Scripture, God will never change, this further assures us that the Word of God never changes. A true gospel within the Word of God will never change. I'd like to read to you now a portion of a sermon delivered on the morning of January 7th, 1855 by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. The scriptural text for this sermon was Malachi 3, verse 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. The fabric of which this world is made is ever passing away. Like a stream of water, drops are running away and others are following after, keeping the river still full, but always changing its elements. But God is perpetually the same. He is not composed of any substance or material, but is spirit, pure, essential, and ethereal spirit. Therefore, he is immutable. He remains everlastingly the same. There are no furrows in his eternal brow. No age hath palsied him. No years have marked him with the mementos of their flight. He sees ages past, but with him it is ever now. He is the great I am, the great unchangeable. Mark you, his essence did not undergo a change when it became united with the manhood. When Christ in past years did gird himself with mortal clay, the essence of his divinity was not changed. Flesh did not become God, nor did God become flesh. By a real, actual change of nature, the two were united in hypostatical union, but the Godhead was still the same. It was the same when he was a babe in the manger, as it was when he stretched the curtains of heaven. It was the same God that hung upon the cross, and whose blood flowed down in a purple river. The selfsame God that holds the world upon his everlasting shoulders. He bears his hands the keys of death. He bears in his hands the keys of death and hell. He has never been changed in his essence, not even by his incarnation. He remains everlastingly eternal, the one unchanging God, the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither the shadow of a change. This sermon was preached by Spurgeon 157 years ago. Is it relevant to today? Absolutely. If it wasn't, I wouldn't have included this, and I hope I'm right on this. I pray that God will allow that He will make it come to pass that whomever may be the pastor here, whomever may be the deacons and the elders here, whomever may be the saints here, that we still honor and preach the Word of God, the true and perfect gospel, as we all should be doing all the days and years to come. So now we have a basis for what will not change. Let us look at the things that may change, but in foundation should not change because of the things that will never change. I've already mentioned some of the things that we're going to change. Once Greg gets here, you may see me some other changes. He may want to move some things around, some other things. But the main thing that's never going to change, first and foremost, is the gospel. Yes, as I said, the true gospel found in God's Word will never change. However, we read the words of the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. I've always been somewhat intrigued by what happened when a letter arrived at Philippi or to the Galatians or any other people. Who first read that letter? What emphasis did they put on it? Did the first person that received this letter look at it and say, I'm not going to read that because I'm one of the guys that kind of strayed away. I've come back, but I'm not going to read it, so I'm going to pass it on to this other elder. I'm going to pass it on there. I've just often wondered that. So Galatians chapter 1, whoever this person was, he read, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting Him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, and now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. I pray that if any one of us moves off for whatever other reason, comes back to Day Spring in 10 years, nobody can recognize him because they didn't notice the change in them, in the furrows in their brow, in their age spots on their hands. I pray that y'all will go up to him and say, do you remember me? I'm so-and-so. And I pray that person, when they come in here and they hear the Word of God, will hear the same Word of God that they heard when they were here before. Things may change. We may have different colored carpet, different colored pews. But we don't change the foundation because it is a rock. It is solid. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I normally don't do this, but I'm going to do it today. I'm going to look at our elders. I'm going to look at Max, and I'm going to look at Ben. I'm going to look at David, and I'm going to look at myself. And I am going to, either by an amen or a nod of the head, that we present elders all agree to see that the true gospel and the Word of God are all faithfully preached here. You can look at their heads and see if they're nodding. And if they're not, we need to talk afterwards. During one of the Sunday school lessons for the youth here at Day Spring, we studied ways in which we worship God. We came up with 9 different ways in which we worship, honor, and praise God during this, our 11 o'clock service. And no, I am not going to list them for you. That's homework for you. However, I do want to warn you, you can't ask either Cole, you can't ask Grant, you can't ask Rebecca, you can't ask Rachel, because they know these answers. They came up with them. One of the things that we do here in Day Spring, I'll start you off, that we worship God. One of them, you all know that, is we sing. We sing to the glory of God. We don't necessarily sing the word. They aren't the words of God, but they reflect what's in the word of God. So when we sing, we're singing to God. We're singing His praise. And we're singing based on what Scripture tells us. We started a little early this morning, and now I'm almost to the closing point, but I wanted to talk about one other thing that David Riedel told me last week, talking about the things that we do during this service. David told me that A&M, if you do something for the first time, the reason that's given that you do it for the first time is, well, that's the way we've always done it. And if you do it the second time, the reason is because that's tradition. So we may do a lot of things here because of tradition, but they're all done to the glory of God. It was just over a week ago that I went with Michael Armisen and Paul George. They took me down into parts of Austin I had never been before. By God's grace, they brought me back. But they were doing what they, as well as other Day Springers, have done so many times in the past. They were out on the street, taking God's word, taking the gospel, passing out tracts and information about Day Spring to anyone who might be passing by. And as you would expect, some of the people just nodded their head and walked on by. Some of them we were just totally ignored. Others would take the literature and walk on. And we had two men stop and talk to us. The last one, we were standing there wondering when we should leave, and me being just an observer and not ever having done this, I don't remember who said it, but someone said, well, not a lot of traffic, we probably should be going. And someone else said, well, let's wait 15 more minutes. And in that 15 minutes, a man came by, and he stopped, and he said, I'm a Christian. And Michael and Paul both talked to him. And he says, I'm a Christian, but I don't go to church that much. Michael even came up and told the man what number bus to take. I was kind of amazed by that. You know, I think it's the number 5. Seven, sorry. It's the bus number 7. Don't lead anybody astray with the 5. But he told us right near the end of our conversation, he says, I really need a Bible. So Michael walks over to his backpack and he pulls out 2 Bibles, one a paperback, one a hardback. And the man took the hardback. And as we were going back to the car, someone said, I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't show up here at Day Spring one day. And I pray that he will. So these things, there's change there. There's change in them, but there is no change in the gospel. In closing, you all know of the story of the Gospel of John in chapter 21, where after his death on the cross and resurrection, Jesus appears to his disciples. They're out in the boat trying to fish and not having much success. He's on the shore. He tells them where to cast the net. The net's full. They come ashore. And starting in verse 15 of John chapter 21, we read, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my lambs. And he said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Day Springers, I now ask each and every one of you, do you love the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, the one whose body was crushed for our iniquities, the one whose blood was shed for our sins. Then I charge this body of believers, of which I praise God for being a part of, to continue to feed his sheep and continue to do as you've done in the past, and to do so as long as God makes you able. Stand true to the word of God and make sure that anyone who stands before you preaching, teaching the gospel does the same thing. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have godly men. We thank you for the men that have led this fellowship in the past. We thank you, Lord, that they have been true to your word. We know, Lord, that this is not something that we can do of our own, but only by your power and by your grace will we be able to stand true to the gospel of Scripture, your word. We know, Lord, that this Scripture is your word, and we pray that we would honor it and keep it in days gone, as we have in days gone by and in the future. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you please now stand for the benediction?